We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
They're a bunch of jokers. They stink so bad you can't even make it up. Get rid of all of them.
Howard Simon.
Every single time. Howard says, they've moved on. I drink. I am so drunk.
Jeremy White.
No, you did this to me.
Don't you put your
this
finger
is,
on
this
that
is
computer.
What happens.
No, you
this
cannot.
This is legit.
I object.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Holy moly. Okay, we'll get to what Jeremy mentioned, and I found your answer. If Stafford doesn't play tonight, your other quarterbacks are Tom Savage, David Fales, who we remember, of course, from Bills Dolphins fame, and Josh Johnson, who we bring this up. Jeremy, actually, we brought up the journeyman, the Wikipedia page journeyman quarterback. Josh Johnson has been with 14 different NFL teams. He was with the Niners twice. Now, he hasn't necessarily played in a game in the regular season with all these, but he's been with 14 different organizations. I don't even remember the fact that he was here. And Derek's sitting there telling me, oh, yeah, he was EJ's backup in the London game. I do not even remember Josh Johnson being here. 14 out of 32 organizations this guy has been with. That's incredible. He should get like $1 million, like a bonus or some kind of award for basically being almost with half the league. Incredible. No one can touch that. Let's blow the McCowns out of the water. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I think Josh is at 11 teams. McCown. Josh Johnson has 14.
So ready for a fun hypothetical? Just throwing it out there. We just talked a little bit about Detroit's T.J. Hockenson, which was a guy that you
loved
did.
T.J. Hockenson.
You wanted.
I wanted the Bills to take him, yeah.
You wanted.
But, hey, Oliver's worked out great.
Sure, he has. There is there's a write-up on Daryl Johnson yesterday, the Bills' late defensive line pick.
Not late as in passed away.
No. He's a very late pick, though. 6'6", 254. Yeah. And he's really impressing people.
Yeah. I think he should make the roster.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, if you get a great pass rusher in the seventh, or he was a seventh-round pick, I think, right?
Yep.
And then Ed Oliver in the first. And your tight end pick was Dawson Knox.
Yeah.
Who
and Tommy Sweeney in the
Tommy
seventh.
Sweeney. So you went two defensive ends. You went two tight ends. Mm-hmm. One of the things that...
Two defensive linemen.
Thank you. Sorry. Yeah. Two defensive linemen, two tight ends in the draft. Would you, if you could, you wanted Hock then.
Yeah.
You could secretly scramble things around and have the Bills have taken the tight-ended Hock, you know, instead of
defensive
instead of
three.
The middle tight, you know, the tight ends in 3 and 7, you get the top-tier tight end. Because if there's one thing this offense might really need to stretch things, you know, we could talk about stretching on the outside, talk about Beasley in the slot, but a seam stretching tight end, like somebody to this offense, you know, they tried to sign Croft, they drafted two, and Kroom is another guy. So that's a position that if you're looking for anything to break out this year, it'd be really nice to get a real weapon at tight end. So do you still kind of secretly wish that they got Hock?
I kind of forgot all about him.
Until now?
I didn't remember that he went to Detroit right before the Bills. I would have liked him because, and like I said, it isn't necessary. I guess to your question, by the way, if they took Hockenson first, you're telling me then the defensive tackle would have come in the third round. You know, it would have been not addressed right away. And I would say,
somebody else. You still get the same number of picks.
Who else you're getting? How good is that guy? Like, Oliver looks like he could really be a destructive player. Yeah, I wanted Hockenson because it was all about Josh Allen. And it was about getting the whole offseason was what? Hey, let's help Josh Allen out. Okay, get a tight end. It's not as big a deal for two reasons. One, Oliver's looked really good. He's got a starting job. He looks part of what I think will be a very talented, very good defense this year. And the second reason is the young tight ends have actually showed flashes. I'm glad Knox is playing tonight. I really want to see how he looks. He got off to a good start at camp, but what happened? He got hurt like, 3 days in and hasn't played in the first two games. Tommy Sweeney was having good practices. Now, he did not play well against the Colts, but he had a really nice game last week. caught a seam route, made a play downfield on the corner route. What was it, a 20-ish yard catch. So I haven't, I kind of forgot about Hockenson because I've been impressed with the young tight ends, and that Oliver looks like he's going to be a really good weapon in the middle of this defense. So I don't think about it as much anymore. You know, they may end up with a really good couple of really good tight ends from rounds 3 and 7. Great. And you still addressed your biggest need in the first round. I don't think about it as much.
Dawson Knox.
I hope Hockenson has a big year. I just think he's a really talented player.
I'm pulling up the Bills' all-time draft history. We're going to play a little instant trivia here.
With tight ends in the draft?
Yeah, with tight ends. Dawson Knox was selected.
This is where you remind about the guy in from Stanford, because I never remember.
I'm just going to, you know, sometimes it's kind of fun to, this is what this time of year is. You don't fall in love with the guy, but you're like, all right.
Yeah, there are
insert
reasons,
the name here.
He was taking, there are reasons to feel good about players.
Yeah, he was taken 96th overall.
Was he? Okay.
Yes. Dawson Knox was.
Look, I can't even tell you. You know, I mean, obviously he hasn't played in a game yet, so I'd actually like to see how he looks in competition tonight.
He'll be interesting. You know, the Bills have drafted tools guys. Knox is a great example. He had zero touchdowns in college.
Right.
This is not
used.
A production pick. It's a tools pick.
Mm-hmm.
And Allen is not a production pick. It's a tools pick. You know?
And Sweeney was productive at Boston College in not exactly a – they weren't exactly a pass-heavy offense. He was productive enough, but he wasn't – I mean, why is he in the seventh round? He was never really great at one particular thing, but who knows? Knock on wood, maybe the Bills found a gem. We sit here and talk about – boy, look at Matt Milano, right? Was he a fifth-round pick? You know, fifth-round pick out of Boston College. He's a starting linebacker, a three-down player, and he looks like he could have a Pro Bowl season this year. So maybe they hit it with Tommy Sweeney. You know, again, not blazing speed, not a freakish athlete, but just a good, solid football player at a position that is of a great need for the Bills right now. And that'd be fantastic.
Do you want to play Maybe They Found a Gem Instant Trivia? Okay.
What are the rules to maybe we found a gem?
The Bills have drafted since 2000.
Tony Klein. Is that the guy's name?
That was 1999.
Justin somebody.
Hang on 1 second. I'm completing the list.
Wasn't there a Justin tight end from, maybe that was in the 90s too.
Jay Reimersma is in this list. He was drafted in 2004.
Oh, see, I thought he was older than that.
Yeah,
okay.
Me too. So tight ends drafted by the Bills.
Justin somebody.
Since 2000. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
I can't bring up this guy because I don't want to look at the draft history. 12 tight ends?
12 tight ends drafted by the Bills since 2000.
I got nothing. Was Marquise great? No, he wasn't drafted. Drafted tight ends. Can you start giving me some colleges, maybe?
I mean, did they draft Jason Krum?
No, he wasn't drafted. No, right? Yeah, that's what I'm.
They did not draft Jason
Scott Grimm. Chandler. No, like the tight ends who've been starters here were not drafted, right? Campbell. No, so I'm trying to go through guys who played here.
Okay, this is not. I'm sorry. The it's a little messed up.
Go to the all-time.
It's not since 2000 because for some reason the list sorted them in the year they retired.
Oh, okay.
So Reimersma was not 2000.
I thought he was pre-2000.
No,
he was older. Yeah, yeah, right.
All right. Well, I've just got.
Man, tight ends draft.
Here we go.
Anybody turn out to be anything? You're looking at the list, right?
I'm looking at the list.
Anybody that would actually had a decent career here?
Well, let's just go through some of them. Never mind. I've got the years on the left. Perfect. Sorry. It was just in a strange
tight
spot.
Ends draft.
So, tight ends drafted by the Bills since 2000.
This is bad. I can't name a single guy. Does anybody make regular season catches on this
right,
list?
I've got a hint here for you for
go
one
ahead.
Of them.
Yeah, go ahead.
His career was ended.
Kevin Everett.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kevin Everett.
Yeah.
Third round pick, 2005.
Good. Okay. Well, we're rolling now. That's just going to open up the floodgates.
We got one.
The names are just flying through my brain at breakneck pace.
That was a horrible pun to use there.
Yeah, that was bad.
That was bad
breakneck
timing.
Pace.
I didn't mean that.
You didn't mean that.
He's,
I know
he's okay.
I know
I
you
totally
did,
didn't. Mean
I know
that.
You didn't mean that. I wouldn't have caught it unless Derek did.
He's okay.
You didn't mean that.
I did
know.
Not mean that. I'm
no,
sorry.
Of course. You're much too nice to have ever meant that. I'm serious.
That was
like,
terrible
yeah,
timing.
Yeah.
Now there are other people who might have meant tight ends drafted.
Tight ends drafted by the Bills since 2000. As we sit here and say about Dawson Knox, maybe they found somebody. Mm-hmm. All
maybe
right.
They found two. By the way. Okay. Right? If Sweeney pans out.
I mean, it would make up for it, seeing as how we've gotten one tight end since they've drafted in 2000.
But you know what? This is actually,
You guys are not doing great.
No, I know. We're stalling for time. Honestly, even guys that weren't drafted and played here, like we're talking about a dearth of actual talented tight ends at the position, whether they were drafted,
it's been
free
bad.
Agent. Tight end. I don't remember if he was drafted or not. Mark Royal. No, he wasn't.
Right? Was there a
Mark Royal who played here, by the way?
There's a Robert Royal.
He was not drafted. He was not drafted.
Yeah, he was drafted by Washington.
You want a funny...
I'm just going after any tight end at this point.
A hint from the text line.
Sure. Okay.
Hint, stone hands.
Oh, right. That's going to give us a great way to narrow it down.
It doesn't help.
What the heck?
Stone hands tight end.
Wait a minute.
That's an answer. I got a tweet with the correct answer. I know this guy was drafted.
Yeah?
Chris Gregg.
Chris Gregg is correct.
Guys, we have the no-glove wonder.
The no-glove wonder.
Nick O'Leary. Yes.
Oh, Nick. Did you know
he was Jack Nicklaus's grandson?
No, no kidding. Really?
More hints. There's another guy with that same last name they drafted in 2001.
Dan O'Leary.
Who the heck is Dan
O'Leary? I don't remember
him
at all, but for some reason the name Dan O'Leary was in my head.
More texters. You know what? From now on, texters should be giving hints instead of guesses.
That's what I thought. We were starting a trend when the guy texted
like
in stone
this.
Hands.
I like this.
This is how advanced our listeners are. They have become hint givers via the text line.
Here's another hint. The one that fumbled it in Baltimore in overtime.
Oh, yeah, the wishbone guy.
Still not narrowing
things. Oh, God, I hate this game.
We are driving the struggle bus right now, Howard.
Hey, is this the same guy who had the girlfriend with the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders?
No, that was David Nelson. He was not a tight end.
Crap.
Wait.
Wishbone guy. Who was the wishbone guy? They pulled his legs apart in Baltimore.
You had the right last name.
Nelson. That sounds familiar. Not David Nelson. He was the undrafted wide receiver.
Major Anthony Nelson. No, that's I Dream a Genie.
This guy scored a touchdown against the Patriots, and he dove for the pylon, and it became featured in NFL either commercials. At the end of a commercial, would say, officially, the NFL. Oh. It would be Sean Nelson diving for the end zone. Tight ends drafted by the Bills.
Wishbone Miss? Guy.
Oh, this is good. Oh, I think both of these are correct. Zach just tweeted, and you ready?
Yeah.
How did you not get these guys? They've got your first name.
Two of them.
Okay.
Two of them that have your first name.
First off, I'm not attributed to greatness oftentimes, so my name should not be.
Well, these guys were not
hint.
Great tight ends, so it fits right in with you.
Yeah, actually, now that's a good point.
Derek Fine.
Oh, correct.
And Derek Schumann.
Correct.
Derek Fine out of. I even know where Derek Fine was drafted.
Really?
Out of
Kansas. Oregon State? Kansas?
He was Kansas.
Derek Schumann.
Was Derek Schumann No, I'm sorry, the other guy was Oregon State.
Oregon, maybe? Was there which one of the guys from Oregon?
Derek
maybe?
Fine
Oregon
is Kansas. State?
Derek Fine.
Schumann? Was Oregon State?
Sure. I don't know.
Yeah, the guy I'm thinking of is Oregon or Oregon State. The next one.
Who's Justin? Justin somebody. I still got to look this up. He had to be pre-2000. Okay, I'm going to do a Google search Bills tight end Justin somebody.
I'm pretty sure the word somebody isn't going to help.
I left that part out.
I've got their entire draft history in front of me. I'll find
Justin somebody. Bills tight end Justin.
Oh, this is struggle city right here.
I got nothing, man.
Not correct as of 2000. Also looking for Tim Ewis.
Wow.
Okay, maybe he's the guy I thought was named Justin. It's Tim Ewis from, he was Pac-10, right?
I think he was Oregon or Oregon State.
Okay.
I think he was Oregon State.
Why do I keep thinking tight ends?
So, you know, just a
is that quick, it? We got them all?
A brief rundown. Hey, maybe they found something in this guy. History.
You know, you're depressing me.
I'm not depressing. I just like to point out.
I'm getting excited about
this
two
time
guys.
Of year. I guess
you just killed
I
me.
End up sounding like a pessimist,
you
but,
are a buzzkill.
But I'm not.
Yes, you are.
More than that, I'm just a, hey, remember that 6 years ago when we thought, hey, maybe this is just a guy.
We forgot
all about him in 2 weeks.
You're ruining my vibe.
A texter did say another hint, a future Hall of Famer who plays for the Eagles, suggesting Jason Peters. He was not drafted.
No, he was undrafted free agent and turned into an offensive lineman.
Yes, but he was undrafted, so the Bills did not draft him at tight end.
Arkansas?
Is it Justin Armour?
There you go, Justin Armour, right? Tight end Stanford, maybe? I'm just looking up the all-time draft list, so he had to be pre-2000, somewhere in the 90s.
It's kind of amazing if you think about it.
Give me a chance to find this. Oh, Sheldon Jackson. I remember him.
He was pre-2000.
Remember Sheldon Jackson with the tattoos?
Pre-2000.
Okay, yeah, no, I know. I'm looking at pre-2000 now to find Justin Armour.
Isn't it amazing that a team that has been so focused on running the ball, playing in the weather, right? Smash mouth. Mm-hmm. We want to be old school football. That they have not had a consistent contributor at tight end in forever?
Yeah.
It's kind of stunning that you know, the 2000s, you don't even have to be a successful team. You could have just plugged along with 8 wins, 7 wins, and still, at some point, mm-hmm. have found a dynamic or reliable receiving tight end. And they haven't. It kind of doesn't even make sense.
Right. Well, and they've tried different avenues, right? They've tried offer sheet. They've tried free agency.
Who'd they offer sheet?
Clay.
Charles Clay. That's right.
So they've tried different guys. I'm looking back at, I'm going pre-2000, right? Jay Riemersma was the best drafted tight end for the Bills in, man, you go pre-2000, like I said, we're talking Sheldon Jackson, we're talking quite a group of Bobby Collins. I mean, come on. Riemersma's there. Riemersma was drafted in 96. So that would be the last time the Bills drafted a good tight end. 23 years ago. So when both these guys pan out, man, I can't find Justin Armour.
Well, finally,
he was an undrafted free agent. Nate Turner, Vince Marrow. Whoa.
Text writes in, tomorrow's instant trivia will be every fourth round pick of the 80s. Golly gee, can't wait.
Woof.
Tomorrow's Saturday, man.
It's going to have to wait till Monday.
Yeah, we'll do that Monday.
Yeah.
Howard's on vacation. Yeah, Monday I'll just run through all the picks of the 80s.
I won't call in for pick the Bills, but if you do fourth round picks of the 80s, I'll call in for that. Tight end, best tight end since you've been here. We hit some of them, right? Mark Campbell for a little while looked encouraging. Robert Royal.
Are we going on talent?
Yes.
Charles Clay.
And still a guy who most Bills fans will say he leaves with you wanting more. Somewhat.
Well, you didn't have anybody get him the ball consistently.
Well, I said somewhat
and
a byproduct.
He battled injuries. But on talent, I would say it was Charles Clay.
Justin Armour, wide receiver, 90s, Stanford. Thank you. I thought he was a tight end. I have no idea why I thought tight end. But wide receiver, Stanford, 1990s. Yeah. So, right, Robert Royal, Scott Chandler for a while. Like, this is, like, think. Over the years, the guys here who we've gotten, I hate to use the term excited about, but thought, hey, maybe hopefully, there's somebody who could catch the ball at tight end.
Yep.
And we're talking Scott Campbell, Robert Royal, Mark Campbell, Charles Clay. For a while, there was a little bit of a shade of a little bit about Marquise Gray, right? Marquise Gray would have a good preseason.
Marquise Gray,
whatever. Hey, you know, maybe this guy Gray turns out to be somebody at tight end. I mean, they've been searching for something at that position, which is why I was looking forward to TJ Hockenson, but they've been searching for somebody at that position forever. And look how it's, you know, well, whatever.
Maybe
knock on wood.
Maybe
Knox
it's
or,
best they didn't
Sweeney.
Use a first round pick on it then.
Yeah.
Because think about it.
Well, they have they ever?
I mean, a caller mentions the only real notable tight end that they've drafted in their entire history that has been a decent tight end is Keith McKellar.
Well, I mean, Riemersma was okay. He was good. I mean, again, in relative Bills history.
In the entire franchise's history.
He's got to be one of the top five tight ends. I'm sorry, I'm not going through 60s and 70s right away. But
here you go. They've got
he's one of their best tight ends.
They've got three tight ends taken in the first round in their history.
Is Tony Hunter on this list?
1983.
And I don't even know how he turned out. I wasn't here at the time.
Reuben Gant.
He was good.
And Paul Seymour.
And he was good.
Those are your three tight ends taken in the first round ever.
So two of the three were good.
How many of the receivers could you get? There have been six.
My brain is still hurting trying to get the tight end instant trivia that we needed massive clues on.
I mean, it's Friday before the third preseason game. I'm looking up everything.
I've got
Lions Bills history in front of me too, which isn't pretty.
Hey, I took the time to go find the 14 organizations Josh Johnson was with, and I found that extremely captivating. That's where, man, I'm on vacation in like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So honestly, my brain is close to shutdown at this point. All I'm thinking about is what am I having for lunch?
I've got a fantasy draft tomorrow night. First one of this year.
See, that's why we have Scott Pianowski come up in the next segment.
Perfect.
Because we got to find out about sleepers and busts and breakout guys and injury issues. And what do you do if you got Melvin Gordon and Zeke Elliott, Andrew Luck? I really feel bad for someone who woke up this morning and found out about Cam Newton if they have Cam Newton on their fantasy team. You know anybody who's got Cam Newton on their fantasy team?
Me.
Yeah, I was just
Dynasty set, League. He got hurt last year. He's got hurt now.
Did you know he got hurt last night?
I did. But the good news is for me, last year I went the whole year once Newton's bye was gone. I rode with one quarterback. I didn't bother to. Yeah, in our Dynasty League, we have one guy who has six or seven quarterbacks.
Oh, that's too many.
Yeah, I'd much rather keep my roster open for developing receivers or, you know, sleeper guys at those positions, young tight ends. Get a quarterback or two.
You would want a second, right? It's one bye week, but you just said quarterbacks don't play 16 games anymore. It's so hard for these guys to make
it
through a whole season.
Well, it can be risky to have just one.
Yeah.
But right now, if Newton's out for any period of time, my only other quarterback is Jameis Winston. Okay. Which I'm high on Winston this year.
Well, with Arians,
I'm ready to be wrong about that, but Winston is a lot. You know, Winston and Josh Allen could get comparisons. They both throw the ball down the field.
Right.
Allen's much more mobile and much more dangerous on his feet. But, you know, Winston, the one thing he does is he turns the ball over. Mm-hmm. So, from a fantasy standpoint, you can get big points from him. Maybe you'd take a couple knocks with interceptions.
You could get 4,000 yards and 20-plus touchdowns, but there's, 14 picks that come
maybe.
With it?
You might get, with Arians, you might get 4,500 yards from him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm good with Winston. If Newton's out for a bit and I've got to start Jameis Winston, I'm not that worried about it. I'll probably have to get another quarterback somewhere, just because. Yeah, I should have two, but.
Well, the thing with Newton, there's a little bit of an unknown at this point, right? Depending on is it called an ankle sprain? Is it that? Is it a high ankle sprain? Is it a regular ankle sprain? Is it a Lisfranc? I mean, there's speculation that he could be, if he's out at all, it could be like 1 week. It could be 3-4 months if it's Lisfranc. That could be a really long-term issue for Cam Newton. So if I were you, I would fire off an email to Ron Rivera and let him know that he is screwing with your dynasty team, because he sat Newton for the first two games, right? Didn't play against the Bills, didn't play in their preseason opener, played last night and got hurt, which is why I came in this morning freaking out about Josh Allen playing tonight.
Rob writes,
to bring the show full circle.
Rob writes, and I think you would struggle to find a lot of first-round tight ends that have been successful or worth it in the last two decades. Let me pull that up real quick. I've got
probably
that right here. First round tight ends, not even at the top of the draft.
Yeah,
I think you'd find some pretty – how far back do we have to go to determine if it's true or not? You know, like 2017, 2018?
I was going to say maybe 10 years.
Oh, you want to go back 10 years?
10 years. Give me the last 10 years.
Okay. I mean, I do have – I go back 2 years, I get
– O.J. Howard is in there.
And Evan Engram. And David Njoku. And 2016, there was no first-round tight end. The first two tight ends taken were Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper.
And Henry,
very good.
It's talent, but he's had to stay healthy.
But the issue is first-rounders. 2015 saw no first-round tight end. 2014 saw Ebron. Didn't work out for the Lions.
Right, worked out in Indy.
2013 saw Tyler Eifert. Went healthy.
Again, good player.
Mm-hmm.
Can't stay healthy.
Went healthy.
Right.
No other first-round tight ends until 2010. Jermaine Gresham, That's Cincinnati.
He was okay.
Yeah. Brandon Pettigrew, 2009. Didn't really pan out.
No.
Dustin Keller, 2008, late first round.
Jets, right? Jets. Yep. He was okay.
Greg Olsen,
fantastic.
Vernon Davis, Mercedes Lewis.
Very good tight ends now.
Heath Miller, good.
Yeah, for his role. I mean, it was not like a game-breaking tight end.
Kellen Winslow, good at one point.
Yeah, and then it just
fell apart. Ben Watson, who is still
in the league
playing.
Yeah, I think, right? Isn't he on, is he on the Pats roster right now?
2003, Dallas Clark.
Tremendous.
2002, Jeremy Shockey, Daniel Graham, Jeremy Stevens.
Is Witten in here somewhere? Was he not a first
2001, 2001 is Todd Heap. 2000 is Anthony Becht and Bubba Franks. I mean, I think you're doing better than not.
Yeah.
1997, I'm at Tony Gonzalez. I mean, that's going pretty far back. And David LaFleur. But I think you're doing okay here. Ricky Dudley, Kyle Brady is a bust for the Jets. Mark Bruner. Irv Smith. Wow, Irv Smith in 93 and then Irv Smith Jr. last year. He was a second-round pick. Ah, that would have been cool.
That would have been nice, yeah.
Anyway.
It's a good group.
Yeah, it's no group of locks, but I don't think it's that bad.
Well, I hope Hockenson has a really good career. And it would never be... You know, it isn't. He was off the board, so it doesn't even matter. But I hope he has a good career. I was a fan of his game at Iowa, and I think he would have been a nice ad. 803-0550 to join us. We talk Bills football with you, getting ready for tonight's game against Detroit. It is here on WGR. Remember, here's the lineup. 5 o'clock is our pregame show. Kickoff just after 8. It'll be John Murphy and Eric Wood A svelte-looking Eric Wood, by the way. They showed him in the broadcast booth. I think it was last week's game. Guy's lost a lot of weight. And Sal Capaccio, who does not have to wear a towel on his head because there's no heat issue. They're indoors. Post-game show, Joe DiBiase and Nate Geary will take your phone calls after the game. Bills preseason games on WGR brought to you by Dr. Beyer Optical Group. For a look that's on fire, call Dr. Beyer. And by Country Suite, it's all about the sauce. If you are getting ready for your fantasy football season, we will help you out with our good buddy Scott Pianowski from Yahoo Sports. He's coming up next to answer all of our fantasy football questions. That is on the way on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Time for some fantasy football. We're going to have lots of fantasy next week. It's draft season. Draft season, getting right into it. I just sent a payment reminder to all the slow pokes on the guillotine league we've got through Yahoo.
Don't look at me.
Well, that's because you didn't get in the league.
Well, that's because I screwed up.
We'll run that by Scott. See what Scott has to say about that.
He'll hang on my side. Scott Pianowski from Yahoo Sports joining us on the Western Hotline. Scott, it's Howard and Jeremy. I screwed up. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. How are you?
We're all right. We're all right. Supposed to be in a fantasy league. It's a long story, Scott.
After raving about a guillotine league all year, Howard agreed to be in it with us.
I was going to be the test case.
And he was going to auto-pick. He's going to auto-draft.
Yeah.
And then participate. And he couldn't even fill out the entry appropriately, so he missed out, and he's not in the league.
Wow, it doesn't sound like a lot of fun.
You just that's actually a Howard's bio.
Scott, I am not a lot of fun. Scott, they just wanted me in the league because they knew I'd be an easy out, and they wanted to make fun of me.
Well, there's always, there's still a couple weeks before the season, so you have time to redeem yourself, join another league.
Don't you always have, in every league, isn't there always one guy that all the GMs look at and go, this guy's easy money?
There's always that guy, right?
Yeah, I'm that guy.
The rules. Yeah. Wait a minute. When did free agency start? 3 weeks ago, right? Yeah.
That's right.
Three games this Sunday.
Well, that's right. I said to Jeremy, I don't want to do all this work. He said, auto pick, and all you have to do after that is worry about waivers.
No, you have to, you want to be a good fantasy player, you have to put in some work. Now, we're trying to make it as limited as possible, but don't let auto pick your team. You have guys you like more than other guys. Don't you want to have some ownership?
Well, the
some of your personal stamp, your personal,
no
shape of the team to be belong to you.
No, not really. The discussion was it had come from a discussion about people. Did you ever win your fantasy league when you did auto pick? So we're getting like tweets and texts from people who did that, and I said, I don't think you deserve to win your league if you did auto pick. You should put in some kind of effort. I would resent someone to just say auto pick and they win. So I said to Jeremy, I would sign up as a test case in the guillotine league to see how successful I could be via auto pick.
I mean, I guess it's an interesting exercise, but I belong to that crazy school of thought, which thinks that we should actually try to put our own minds into this matter and try to figure it out. I mean, maybe you win a chess tournament by letting the computer make your moves, but, I want to do it myself.
Scott, how many leagues are you in?
It's going to be over 10. I'm not really sure. There's still a couple of soft commitments I have that I'll probably have to firm up in a couple of weeks, but it's enough that I don't know what the number is. I guess that's the best way to answer it.
Yeah, this will be a career high for me. I'm at 6. And that's 2 Dynasty, 2 Standard, and 2 Guillotine. So for you, breaking it up, I mean, how do you generally allocate your time, your formats, and are you in any that maybe are newer that we don't know about? Somebody sent me about a bad quarterback league. There's vampire leagues. There's empire leagues. I don't know. It's funny. It's kind of like whether it's beer or hot sauce on wings, I'm always looking for something new, and if there's a new format that I don't know about, then I always want to try that.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to some of the deluxe hybrid leagues that you're talking about there, but what I do subscribe to significantly is I love the super flex format, which is the idea. First of all, just add more starters to your league anyway and add more flexes because it smooths out the variance and it plays towards the skilled players. But what a super flex league is that some of your flex options, one of them will include a quarterback as, in addition to a running back, a receiver, a tight end. So it's basically a proxy to be a two-quarterback league, but at least if you don't have two quarterbacks in a given week, you could play a non-quarterback. I think it's a much better format because we see in a lot of fantasy leagues, you look at the waiver wire, oh, wow, the running back's pretty thin, receiver pretty thin. But why are there starting quarterbacks? Why is like the number 18 or 19 quarterback on waivers? Because most people don't need that many quarterbacks because you're only starting one. So it used to be, well, it's playing a two-quarterback league, but then you'd find that if somebody couldn't start two during a bye week, they'd be absolutely screwed. You have no chance of winning. So Superflex is a way to marry those two ideas. It's basically a two-quarterback league, but at least you have an option if it's a week where you don't have that second quarterback.
Right.
You plug in somebody else.
Right.
Hey, we were just talking a little bit about, because the Bills are playing the Lions tonight, we were talking about TJ Hockenson. When it comes to rookies, who are best bets? Who are you advising in terms of receivers, tight ends, running backs, rookies to get a hold of?
And your, I would imagine your answers might be different from a standard versus dynasty format.
Yeah, I mean, dynasty, of course, you can take the long view, and I would be in on a guy like Hockenson. I'm basically, rookie tight ends, I'm almost always out. Rookie receivers, I tend to be out. I'm not going to take any Harry. Obviously, Metcalf got hurt in Seattle. That knocks him down. Running back is the position where the least learning curve, where they're kind of plug and play.
Yep.
And it looks like a lot of the interesting rookies this year at running back are guys who don't have starting jobs right now. You guys have that with, in Buffalo with Singletary, who I'm very interested in. But, of course, there's so many running backs there. It could take a while to develop. I'm very excited to see what Justice Hill can do in Baltimore. I am begging people. I am not somebody who says, look, in a seasonal league, draft a guy and hold him forever. I mean, you have to be liquid with your bench, and you have to pick up free agents. So I'm not going to take the cheap way out of, oh, yeah, hold this guy for 8 weeks and wait until something happens. If you draft Justice Hill, I am imploring you, do not cut him until October. Give that time some story, that story some time to develop. I think something might happen. Alexander Mattison, Minnesota, very interesting. Sounds like Thompson, Darwin Thompson in Kansas City, has become their number two back. Carlos Hyde's just a guy anyway. And we don't really know how good Damian Williams is. I know he played very well down the stretch. He's got almost no NFL resume. Of course, anybody in an Andy Reid offense and a Patrick Mahomes offense we're going to be excited about. But I'm stockpiling, when I can, Darwin Thompson. I love Singletary. I love Justice Hill. I love Alexander Mattison. And this is a non-rookie, but just to give you some of the other guys I have on my portfolio, I really like Matt Breida in San Francisco. I never thought McKinnon was in the way. I know they signed Coleman. It's going to be somewhat of a timeshare, but I think it's going to be focused to two backs. I don't mind so much when a team, look at Seattle with Carson and Penny. They're both going to play, so neither one of them is going to be a bell cow, but the league has like seven bell cows now. I can handle a backfield that only has two primary guys. Matt Breida round 9, round 10, round 11 on a lot of my teams.
Scott, how much stock do you put into not preseason games, but what coaches are saying about their players? I'm thinking back to when Nathaniel Hackett said, we're going to give C.J. Spiller the ball until he pukes. And
yeah, until he throws up. I was just going to bring up that quote. That's the greatest example, right, of coach speak.
You mentioned
C.J. Spiller threw up after his first carry because he was hardly used that year.
The reason I was going to ask is because of Chris Carson. Chris Carson in Seattle, they're saying they're going to throw to him more, which as soon as you hear a guy's going to get more catches out of the backfield, you're like, wow, that's instant uptick in his value. So do you believe it when coaches talk about how they're going to use players when we're in the preseason?
Yeah, you have to be careful with it. I do believe it with Carson. We have no proof of it, of course. And by the way, when it comes to things you don't believe, the first thing you never believe is when a player gets injured and they all say, oh, yeah, I'm Superman, I'll be back in a week or whatever. The players are the worst sources for injuries because they have incentive to not tell us the truth. I mean, who wants to say, yeah, give somebody else my job, I'm not going to be back for 2 months? Coach speak, it's one of those things, you know it when you see it, and you learn to be skeptical of it. What I want people to do in the preseason, especially this week, this is week three, this is the dress rehearsal for a lot of teams. Look at the usage. Who's in with the first team? Who's in on third down? Who's in at the goal line? You have to go on what the teams do and how they employ their players. That tells us more. The actual actions tell us more than what they say, especially in this one preseason game this week where teams tend to, at least for part of the game, take it seriously. So I'm looking at who's playing with the first team. That's a gigantic step towards, okay, we think this guy is one of our main contributors. So this is if you're going to ignore the preseason for the most part, and if you've ignored it to this point, I'm okay with it. This is the week you actually want to look at every box score and try to figure out who's running with the ones.
Do you have to, in this year's preseason, though, change that a little bit? I'm thinking about the Packers last night. What they end up doing is sitting most of their starters because it's bad field conditions. So it's almost like a test. You know, Green Bay, and did Oakland sit 33 guys too? Or
Oakland didn't even travel 24 okay. guys. They didn't get on the plane and go.
In some cases, if you know a team is sitting out, there's your line of demarcation, is which guy did they not want to put in harm's way?
Yeah, it's definitely a season of taste thing. And right, sometimes they show the value of a player by not exposing him. And you'll also see that in the fourth week, right? I mean, anybody who's important to a team won't play in week four. So anybody who gets on the field in week four, it tells you they're probably fighting for a spot on the roster. Maybe they're being showcased for a possible trade. Because once you're determined to be valuable, you go into bubble wrap next week. But you're right. It's not a one-size-fits-all rule. And there are going to be situations, you know, there may be a rain situation with a game where teams don't want to expose guys. We saw Carson Wentz didn't play for Philadelphia last night. You know, they decided not to risk him. The Rams are keeping all of their primary guys. You know, Todd Gurley, one of the hardest calls of fantasy, not going to play in the preseason. So it's certainly not, there's not one rule for all 32 teams. And you make a great point. There's going to be situations where they show you're important by not playing you.
Let me get a call in for you before we let you go, Scott. We'll get to, I think it's a Bills question that Eric has. In Albuquerque, you're on with Scott Pianowski here on WGR. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Big good. Thank you.
Oh, it's nice to talk to you, Scott. You're an expert. Nice to hear from one.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, I'm sorry. You had a Bills comment. I thought you were calling with a fantasy question. Go ahead, Eric. We'll handle that anyway. Go right ahead.
So I'm commissioning a league for the first time, and I haven't played fantasy in 2 years. And a decision was made amongst the members of the league. It's all coworkers and friends that we want to do IDP. So we've got safeties, linebackers, defensive ends, defensive tackles, the whole nine yards. And the decision was made to give the defensive players some more value. So we made it so that, say, a cornerback gets an interception and returns it for a touchdown, that's worth the same amount of points as if a receiver were to do that. And so then the decision was made to boost sack value. So we made it so that, let's say, a defensive tackle gets a sack, that's 3 points. And so it's pretty interesting. I have never played an IDP league before, so I'm kind of actually pretty excited for this because I feel like the defensive players have a lot more value in this regard. And I've also got some funny names for the divisions in the league if you want to hear them.
That we'll hold off on, yes. I think we're just getting into a dangerous
area. Scott,
let
me follow up on the question. He's talking about those point values. I've never been in an IDP league either, so I don't know what the point values generally are.
Yeah, the thing with IDP, a couple of things. One, and I'll admit that it is not my preferred format, but, you know, whatever people want to play, you know, if you like it, if everybody agrees to it, you know, fine, go ahead and do it. Generally, my experience in IDP has been two things. One, I have not prioritized the IDP part of my draft. Those have been my last round picks. Those have been guys I've worked the waiver wire for. And there's also, and we know one of the most important things in fantasy is you have to be fine with the disconnection of real life value to fantasy value. A lot of times, really valuable IDP players are on terrible teams because their defenses are on the field all the time and they're collecting tackles because their offense, you know, can't stay on the field. The defense can't stay off the field, so they're getting stats that we care about. Of course, yeah, sometimes the stat compilers are going to be on great defenses too. With these, if they're going to tweak the stats where the defense is more important, then I guess you prioritize it a little bit more. But defense is different. Again, you know, offense, you know, we want, who are the good offenses? Okay, the Saints or the Patriots or the Chiefs, of course. The Eagles look really good. The Colts, if Luck is healthy. That's where you would want your primary fantasy players. With IDP, the strength of the defense really doesn't matter. It's just, is this player a stat compiler?
Right. If you're going to grab a cornerback, you might want a team that doesn't have a good pass rush because you want the ball in the air.
Or sometimes the cornerback, you want somebody they're targeting. I mean, the greatest compliment of a star cornerback is they don't throw the ball to him. You know, Deion Sanders was never a great stack guy. He actually wasn't that bad with touchdown runbacks, but he was not intercepting nine passes a year because they didn't want to throw the ball to him. You know, when Asamoah was that guy, when Ty Law was that guy, these guys a lot of times don't get the interceptions because teams don't want to mess with them.
Yeah.
Follow Scott on Twitter for fantasy football advice as well, at @Scott_Pianowski, P-I-A-N-O-W-S-K-I. And we'll look forward to having him on because he's really a nice guy and comes on with us during the season, even though we pester him each week.
I've also made switches. A lot of my leagues are switching over to Yahoo. So, you know.
That's one of my – you talked about how many leagues I was in. I try to get every league that I'm in Yahoo. And look, not just because I work there and I'm proud of our game designers and everything, but to have a one-stop shop where you do all your work and not have to go to five or six different sites. There's other good sites. I'm not going to act like Yahoo's the only place to play. I think people should play there. But, you know, you may choose to play in another site, whatever. Try to keep your life as centralized as you can. It will help you stay in a routine, and then you'll be able to put your best work in every week.
And fewer passwords to try to remember.
Thank you, Scott, very much. As always, we appreciate you giving us your time.
My pleasure. Talk to you soon, guys.
We'll get a quick break in. Instigators at the top of the hour, WGR. Hey, here's a big shock. We were late to break. So we literally have to come in and say, hey, have a great weekend. Instigators are coming up next. Now, don't forget, Bills game, of course, 5 o'clock pregame, 8 o'clock kick. Nate Geary, Joe DiBiase on the postgame show, and then Jeremy will be in Monday morning with Derek, and they'll be glad to take your phone calls on the game. Have a marvelous weekend, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.